2 Kings chapter 2. This will be, with God's help, the last study in the life of Elijah. I show it's the 16th study. Last week we looked at chapter 1, and if the chronology is immediate, this chapter 2 could be just a couple days afterwards. It's not 100% clear, but it would appear to come soon thereafter, chapter 1. It's an amazing story of the departure of Elijah as he went to heaven and the handing off of his ministry to Elisha before the prophets at Jericho, of Jericho. Let's read 2 Kings 2, verses 1 through 18. And it came about when the Lord was about to take up Elijah by a whirlwind to heaven, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Then the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Be still." Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho approached Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be still." Then Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. Now 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood opposite them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Elijah took his mantle and folded it together and struck the waters, and they were divided here and there, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." He said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." As they were going along and talking, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, which separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind to heaven. Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." And he saw Elijah no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and returned and stood by the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and struck the waters and said, "Where's the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he also had struck the waters, they were divided here and there, and Elisha crossed over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho opposite him saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground. They said to him, "Behold now, there are with your servants 50 strong men. Please let them go and search for your master. Perhaps the Spirit of the Lord has taken him up and cast him on some mountain or into some valley. And he said, you shall not send. But when they urged him until he was ashamed, he said, send. They sent therefore 50 men, and they searched 3 days, but did not find him. They returned to him while he was staying at Jericho, and he said to them, did I not say to you, do not go? An amazing story, the last story in the life of Elijah, but you can see that there's a clear handoff of the baton, if you will, from Elijah to Elisha. Several years had passed since Elisha was first called, back when he was plowing with the oxen. You remember that story? And Elijah threw his mantle over him. And they had built up a relationship, mentor, mentee. He was training Elisha. Elisha was learning the way of God more accurately, maybe like Apollos. But let's consider these verses. There's many observations we can make and lessons that we could draw as we look at the facts of this story. But there were three phrases, one phrase repeated 3 times. Did you notice it? There's several repetitions, but there's one phrase that is repeated 3 times. For the Lord has sent me, verse 2. Verse 4, for the Lord has sent me. Verse 6, for the Lord has sent me. And so the title today is Elijah Sent and Taken by God. And we'll consider lessons about that as we move forward. But verse 1, again, it came about when the Lord was about to take up Elijah by a whirlwind to heaven that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. I like the Holman Christian Standard Bible. It's a great reference. You can look it up. The way it translates, the first words is, the time had come for the Lord to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind. For the time had come. It was God's appointed time. As we mentioned last week, Elijah probably had a ministry of 22 years. If it indeed paralleled all of Ahab's rule. But it was time for him to depart. The Lord had raised up this man, really the prophet of prophets, the prophet par excellence, that was Elijah. But it was time for him to go. He had asked for God to take him years before, but God said no. He had more work to do, and even until the moment he departs to heaven, he has work to do. 3 times it says take in our text. Take, take, take. God had to take him up to heaven. And I was speaking to someone about this text, and they said, well, it's sort of a funeral message. And I said, there's an element of truth. He didn't die, according to the passage, but he was taken away. So there will be some sobering thoughts about departure. And the first is this, and I have 10 lessons. I hope we can get through them all. From Job 1:21, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Here is our hero, Elijah, about to be taken by God. The Lord gives, the Lord gave Elijah to Israel as a prophet. And now he's going to take him. We should bless the Lord. It wasn't easy for Elisha. We'll see his grief later. But the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. A lesson all through life. Some of us have been closer to it recently. But it will touch us and we will face departures of loved ones over and over again. Because the Lord is sovereign, he sends and he takes his servants as he pleases. And we noted back at the beginning, Elijah was an obedient prophet. He, when God said go, he went. He was sent and he went, and then he was taken by God. Listen to Job 14:5. Since his days are determined, the number of his months is with you, and his limits you have set so that he cannot pass. God has appointed our years, our days, our minutes, our seconds. This would be Elijah's time to go, and that was the appointed time that God had given. Remember, we're all replaceable according to God's timeline. And that's why, as the Puritan said, we should live with our bags packed. We should treat people right because we don't know if it's our last day or theirs. A sobering consideration. Listen to Ecclesiastes 3. There's an appointed time for a few things, for everything. And there is a time for every event under heaven, a time to give birth and a time to die. I'm not saying Elijah died, he was unique, but his departure was an appointed event from God. All saints have to depart, whether like Elijah or Enoch who just departed, or we, unless Christ returns, we will depart. And it's a blessing to commit our lives into the hands of our Father. Whether we stay or depart, we cast ourselves into His hands. Listen to this beautiful hymn by John Ryland. Unfortunately, it's not in our hymnal. You can look it up. The first stanza is, "Sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise, all my times are in Thy hand, all events at Thy command. His decree who formed the earth fixed my first and second birth. Parents, native place and time, all appointed were by Him." In verse 3, "He that formed me in the womb, He shall guide me to the tomb. All my time shall ever be ordered by His wise decree." Elijah would be taken. We, unless Christ returns, will be taken. Many saints have already been taken from us, and that is according to the decree of God. Now it says in our text, verse 1, how Elijah was taken. Sometimes we might say he was taken by a chariot. Is that true? Actually, it says he was taken by a what? A whirlwind. So let's be clear, we'll come to the mention of the chariot, but it doesn't say he was taken up in a chariot. So to be careful with our text, he was taken up, verse 1, by a whirlwind. Well, they continue from Gilgal together. Elijah went with Elisha. And note as we go through our text, the closeness of these two men until a point. They went up together to Gilgal. They were traveling in a small area, 2 or 3 miles from Gilgal to Bethel. They went up. In verse 2, Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. It's unclear why Elijah asked Elisha to stay behind. He was on a mission. God had sent him down to the town of Bethel. He had to go. He had to follow the instruction of God to go down to Bethel. And again, 3 times, "The Lord has sent me," beginning here in verse 2. "The Lord has sent me," really a message of the prophets. The prophets are men sent, or even apostles, those sent with a mission. Lesson 2, learning from our brother Elijah, "The Lord has sent me," 3 times. Whether young or old, we should be servants directed by our Lord. We may not be sent here and there. So-and-so, you should go to Turkey. You should go to Pennsylvania. It's not the same situation, but it is the same that the Lord directs us by His Word. Elijah had some type of direct revelation to go down to Bethel. And we, young or old, to be servants of the Lord should be directed by the Lord. We should be obedient servants like Elijah. Kids, last week we mentioned a young hero, maybe 8, 9, 10 years old. Who was it? Pardon? Who was the hero we mentioned last week? Audrey? Samuel. Thank you, sir. Samuel, who said, "Speak, your servant is listening." Another hero that fits in with Elijah's mindset for all of us said these words, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" Isaiah. Isaiah was a man like Elijah who, when God said go, he said, "Send me." So we, likewise, should be directed by our Lord. This obedient prophet gives us a good example. When God said go, he went. Here he went down to Bethel. So consider Elijah, consider Samuel, consider Isaiah as good examples of obedient followers of God. Elisha knew that Elijah would be taken. That's in the discussion. And he would not leave his side. Elisha would not leave the side of Elijah. He was devoted to this man and had been for years. What could we learn from his devotion? "I will not leave you. I will not leave you." It's sort of a strange debate they're having. He says, "Stay," and Elisha says, "No, I'm going with you and you can't stop me." The lesson is this: loving devotion to the saints may be felt and spoken, but it is best when shown. Loving devotion to the saints, like Elisha, may be felt and spoken, but it's best when shown. This man was devoted. Remember 19:21 in 1 Kings? We considered when he was called and Elijah threw the mantle on Elisha, and then it concluded with those words, "And he ministered to him." For years, Elisha had been ministering to Elijah, and now he will not step aside. He will go down to Bethel, and then he will go down to Jericho, and then he will go down to the Jordan. He wouldn't stop. He couldn't be pried off of Elijah's back, if you will, from his side. He was devoted to his master, to his father, as he'll call him. It's a good example of how we can be devoted. And thinking about how we feel toward the saints, we've had good teaching on the church. We have feelings toward the saints. We may say, "I love you. I'm praying for you." Those are good. It's good to have feelings. It's good to have words. But it's best when shown. He didn't just say, "I'm not going with you," and then Elijah hindered him. No, he was going with him. He wouldn't stop. He was persistent in his action toward his master. We should be the same. And I think of our sister Terry. We can pray for Terry. We can have feelings for Terry. But have we went to visit Terry? Have we did something? Or whoever it is in the body. It's not enough to just have feelings and to speak. And we're all guilty of this. But like Elisha, let's stick close to the saints. Let's not just take no for an answer. Maybe we want to give a gift, a meal, and they say, "Oh no, thank you. I insist, please have it." Not to be rude, but persistent in our affection as Elisha was toward Elijah. He would stop at nothing to follow his mentor, even when his mentor would depart to heaven. So they went down together to Bethel, about 10 to 15 miles. They traveled to Bethel. And did you catch the last few words of verse 2? They went down. You'll see this over and over again, the plural, that they went together. They did this together. Coming back to that in a moment. Verse 3, as they went, they found some of the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel. They came out to Elisha and they said, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master over you today?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Be still." There were prophets in Bethel, sons of the prophets. Maybe they had a circuit and they had trained these men. We don't know. But there were sons of the prophets. Remember 19:10 when Elijah said, "I alone am left"? Going back several years, he thought he was the only one. But God had other prophets. We've mentioned them thus far. God said to Elijah's complaint that he was the only one left, "Remember, I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal." That was a few years earlier, but God had a people. He had his prophets, even at Bethel. So lesson 4, even in the darkest of times, God can easily raise up a people for himself, a remnant according to grace. These were dark times. That's how we began this study in Elijah's life. The dark, dark times of Jeroboam and then Ahab. God had a bright light in Elijah, but he had other prophets as well. These prophets at Bethel. They knew, God had revealed to them that Elijah would be taken. And they came out and stated the same to Elisha. And Elisha says, "Be still." I think, don't make a big deal of it. Just be still. God was setting the stage for Elijah's departure by coming to this seminary at Bethel, by this training house for the prophets, and then at Jericho. The next trip, so we finished. He went to Bethel. We don't know how long he was there. It doesn't seem he stayed very long. Then verse 4, Elijah said to him, "Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho, from Gilgal to Bethel and now to Jericho. But he said, 'As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you.'" So they came to Jericho. Again, Elijah was a man on mission. He's going where God would send him, even to until the end of his life. It's like the psalm that says, "The godly in old age are full of sap and very green." He was still on mission. He wasn't in retirement. To the very end, he was going where God had sent him. The second school of the prophets. God would show that he was handing off the ministry from Elijah to Elisha. Again, Elisha would not leave. He would not depart. It reminds us of Proverbs 17:17, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." These men were friends. And Elisha would not leave the side of his friend and mentor. So verses 5 and 6, they come to this second seminary, if you will. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho, a different group from the first, they approached Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master?" The same words. "From over you today." And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be still." The same answer to the second group. Then Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." The third time, "The Lord has sent me to Jordan." And he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. The man is persistent. Elijah is persistent in his mission, and Elisha is persistent in his devotion to his master. God had the prophets at Bethel. God had the prophets at Jericho. And the same interchange goes back and forth making this all emphatic. And Elisha gives his third vow, I will not leave you. And it ended, so the two of them went on. They're unified. They're partners in ministry, if you will. The two of them went on just a couple miles. If you look on your map, you'll see these towns are a few miles apart, going down to the Jordan River, 2-3 miles away. The seminary students at Jericho are watching from a distance. Verse 7. Now 50 men of the sons of the prophets. It's a big group. It's a training school. Those prophets went and stood opposite them at a distance while the two of them, Elijah and Elisha, stood by the Jordan. They're down at the river, standing there, the two men. Then something amazing is about to happen. Verse 8, Elijah took his mantle and he rolled it up, sort of like a staff in this long stick form. He folded it up and he struck the waters with it. He maybe whipped it down in a sense. He struck these waters and they were divided. The river was parted here and there, to the right and to the left, so the two of them crossed over on dry ground. The power of God was manifested through Elijah. When this mantle struck the waters, they parted. A wet riverbed was now dry, dry ground. Just like when Moses had parted the Red Sea by the power of God. Or when Joshua led the Israelites and the priests stepped in the same Jordan River at another location, the river parted. God had shown his power in this way previously. Exodus 14, Joshua 3. God was showing his credentials. God was showing that he was powerful through his prophet Elijah. How can we respond? How should we respond to these miracles in the Bible? We can't just read them, ho-hum, the river was parted. We haven't seen this except by faith. A river was parted. And beware, many professing Christians throughout history in our time are denying the miracles of the Bible. Even some commentators. Last week when we looked at 2 Kings 1, when the fire came down from heaven, someone that I respected, a commentator, denied it. I couldn't believe it because it seemed too amazing. The natural man does not receive the things of God, but we, the people of God, must have faith. And lesson 5 is this: stand firm believing in this miraculous act of God. Stand firm believing in this miraculous act of God. They're throughout the Bible. Miracles were grouped together at different times, especially in the ministry of Elijah. We must stand and cultivate and exercise faith in God in his miraculous acts. Many churches, so-called, are denying these miracles. We must persevere. We've prayed for even the church in Egypt, who was previously Reformed, Presbyterian, solid, are denying the miraculous acts of God. And if we don't exercise faith, we'll be next. We can't just read over these things, explain them away. We must believe them. Young people, you go to school, you go to college, you go in the workplace, you'll be mocked if you believe the miracles of Scripture. The Jordan River was parted by the power of God. He created the world, he created the river, and he gave power to Elijah to do this act. We must resolve by God's grace, and if we are tempted to doubt, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We must believe that he did this. There's no option to believe it. It's not consider what might have happened. No, the river was parted. And if God is God, that is an easy thing. So believe it by the grace of God. Let us at Pilgrim Bible Church stand firm and believing in the miraculous work of God in the Bible, Genesis to Revelation. Because if this isn't true, we can pack it up and be done. God did this miracle, and the two of them crossed over. There's this unity between these men. The two of them crossed over. The others were only watching, but Elijah and Elisha crossed over. And verse 9, when they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." Elijah wanted to give a blessing to Elisha. And Elisha asked for the best thing. A double portion of your spirit. Maybe a reference to something like Deuteronomy 21:17. The firstborn would get a double portion. He calls him father. He wants a double portion of the spirit of Elijah. He wants to live closer to God. He wants to know the power of God. He wants to be living in the face of God, in the presence of God, as Elijah had lived. Lesson 6. Like Elisha, let us seek to imitate the godliness of other saints. Like Elisha, let us seek to imitate the godliness of other saints. Lord, make me like Elijah. Lord, make me like Paul, like Apollos. Make me like Ruth. Lord, make me like your saints of old. Lord, give me what you gave them. William Cooper, I love the hymn, "Oh, for a closer walk with God." That's what Elisha was asking for. Not only to work power, but to draw near to God and to have a double portion of that spirit, and God gives it to him. So as we ask God to grow us, we seek to imitate the saints. Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ, Paul said to the Corinthians, or in Ephesians 5:1, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. That's what Elisha desired, to be like his master, Elijah. Who are your heroes? There are many in the Bible. That's why I mentioned Samuel, Isaiah, Apollos, Paul the Apostle, our Lord Jesus. We look to the saints. We look to Christ, the greatest example. But God has given many examples in our own church. Saints that we can look to learn from. That's a lesson that Elisha teaches us by his request. Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Lord, may I serve like Jerry Ng did. May I have the heart of service like that man had. There are many saints. May I be hospitable like so-and-so. Lord, give me your grace to be like them. Elisha wanted that. And he left all to follow God and serve Elijah and be tutored and mentored by him. Well, how does Elijah answer? He said, verse 10, "You have asked a hard thing. This is difficult. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you, but if not, it shall not be so." You've asked something very difficult. Only God can grant this. He has to provide it to you. But if you persevere to the end, if you are there when I'm taken, God will give it to you. Sort of an unusual back and forth. It's hard to read it exactly, but he had to persevere to the end to see his master taken to heaven to receive the blessing. These two friends, look at verse 11. As they were going along and talking, Elijah and Elisha, as they were going along and talking, They had built a solid relationship for years. They went along together. What could we learn from them? These two men, the mentor and the mentee. Even the world has that language. Why can't we use the same? To disciple, to mentor, men and women alike. They were going along and talking. Sweet phrases. Lesson 7. Let us embrace the truth that two are better than one. Let us embrace the truth that two are better than one. Turn over to that passage, Ecclesiastes 4. Remind ourselves of this great truth, Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. These men had most likely discipled and taught at these seminaries, for lack of a better word, these schools of the prophets at Bethel and Jericho. They have a good return for their labor. Verse 10, for if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion, but woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. Let us embrace the truth that two are better than one. We cultivate friendships in the Lord with meaningful fellowship. Sundays, worshiping together, fellowshipping around the tables, but through the week, getting to know one another, talking, fellowshipping, bearing each other's burdens, rejoicing with one another, weeping with one another. That's what these men had been doing. Talking probably about his departure or what had happened through the years. Iron sharpens iron, does it not? So one man sharpens another. Listen to Matthew Henry. Thinking of divine things is good, but talking of them is better, if for edification. Talking with the saints about the things of God, fellowshipping, not just how's the weather today, it's not wrong to rejoice in the good weather, but fellowshipping around the Scripture, around, I've been struggling this week, would you pray for me? Do you have any advice about this? Fellowship. Let's go deeper with one another and not only talk about the weather, but divine things, the things of God. They were walking and talking. And behold, in the midst of that, there appeared a chariot of fire. We've heard chariots of fire. That's where it came from. A chariot of fire and horses of fire, which separated the two of them. Remember, they had been together. They went down. They went down. They were together. They stood by the river. And they were separated. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind. This is a one-of-a-kind event. This is amazing. Some chariot of fire. We can't even imagine what it looked like. But they saw a chariot of fire and horses of fire. Again, we must believe it. We can't explain it away that lightning struck. No, there were chariots of fire. An amazing army. Fire had shown up at Carmel. Remember at the sacrifice? Just in the previous chapter in Samaria, which came down on the men. A symbol of God's powerful presence. We'll see we won't see it together, but when you read 2 Kings 6, although one day we hope to do the life of Elisha, 2 Kings 6, then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. It's a similar picture. These chariots of fire, these horses of fire, Elisha says in our text, the horsemen. And many of the commentators kept pointing out angels, and I was a little confused until I saw the phrase horsemen. These were the host of God. Dividing these two men, the chariot came down, the power of God and fire, the horsemen pulling the chariot somehow of fire. You could read Psalm 68:17. The chariots of God are myriads, thousands upon thousands. The Lord God of hosts, the armies, the God of armies, these horsemen. Through all the narrative, they had been together from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho to the Jordan. And now they were the chariot and the horsemen, the horses of fire separated them. It's dramatic. They were now separated. They had been together, but now they're separate. And Elijah was taken up by a whirlwind or a windstorm straight up to heaven. Amazing. Miraculous. But the sadness is about to strike. His dear friend, his mentor, had went up to heaven. After all that they had been through, the challenges, the humiliations, the victories, the good, the bad, and the ugly, as we say. Lesson 8, on this earth, even the best relationships must come to an end. It's a truism. On this earth, even the best relationships must come to an end. Some, like in this case, Elijah was just taken straight to heaven. Normally, it's by death when our beloved saints depart to be with Christ. Sometimes people move away. And sometimes we're baffled. Lord, I was just getting close to that person. You took them to heaven. They moved away. But on this earth, the best relationships must come to an end. We shouldn't be surprised. It does hurt, but it's true. Verse 12, Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. And he saw Elijah no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He just maybe ripped right down the middle. There went his garments. Even though he knew Elijah was about to depart, he still was unprepared for the method. He saw a glimpse of the power of God in this chariot and the horsemen. He was struck with awe and wonder and yet with grief. He cried out for his spiritual father that he had grown so close to was now gone. If you stood there at the casket and your mentor is now in heaven, you have a sense of what this man felt. He grieved. Even though he knew it was coming, he knew the departure was close, he was grieving, not as the world. Paul reminds us, my father, he was the spiritual father. Elisha very well had a godly father, Shapheth. But this man had discipled him, had mentored him, had trained him for years, and now he's gone. And he is grieving and he rips his clothes wide open. Lesson 9. We must acknowledge that people grieve in different ways. We must acknowledge that people and even cultures grieve in different ways. Proverbs 14:10. The heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy. Elisha was in grief. His heart was made bitter. He was already missing his spiritual father, Elijah, who had left. Not everyone will grieve like us. It's a general lesson that we see this man grieve this way. Others grieve in that way. Well, his grief turns to action. Verse 13, he took up the mantle, he picked it up, the mantle of Elijah that had fell from him as the man was going up into heaven. The garment fell down. And he picked that garment up, the mantle, and returned and stood by the bank of the Jordan alone. This was the same mantle that had been cast upon him back at his anointing, if you will, in 1 Kings 19:19. He picked up that mantle that had just divided the Jordan, and he stands on the bank. Just a few minutes earlier, they were standing together on the opposite bank, and Elijah had rolled it up and parted the Jordan. But here is Elisha alone with the mantle. In verse 14, he took the mantle that fell from him, again repeating the same words, and struck the waters and said, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he had also struck the waters, they were divided here and there in the same way, and Elisha crossed over. He immediately sought to do the same miracle to ensure that that double portion was upon him, that God had not left him. The God of Elijah was his God. He received the double portion. I kept thinking of the hymn we sing, "The God of Abraham Prays," Abraham's God and mine. Think of it like this, maybe as we pray, as you pray in your closet, as we gather, lesson 10, the final place, be assured, the God of Elijah is our God. Be assured, the God of Elijah is our God. And this is what Elisha was saying in his question. It's phrased in an unusual way. It almost sounds like doubt. I don't think it was doubt. I think he was calling out that the God of Elijah is my God, and you'll see in the next verses in this chapter, he called on the name of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, he will utter in a few words, the God of Elijah was the God of Elisha and is our God. He may not be doing the same type of miracles as he did then, but he is our God. Be assured. What a motive for faith. This is our God. Not just the God of the Old Testament, not just the God of Israel, but our God. And Elisha was confirming that by his request or prayer. Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? And God parted the waters in exactly the same way to show Elisha that he is his God and credentials his ministry to move forward. The onlookers are watching how the situation will play out. Verse 15, those sons of the prophets at Jericho, that Jericho seminary, were standing on the opposite side of the river, and they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed down on the ground before him. This is why God had Elijah and Elisha go from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho to the Jordan. And those men from Jericho kept watching. And God wanted them to see what would happen. And they acknowledged the transfer of from Elijah being the leading prophet to Elisha. Although, verse 16, they said to him, "Behold now, there are with your servants 50 strong men. Please let them go and search for your master." They didn't get it fully. Perhaps the Spirit of the Lord has taken him up and cast him on some mountain or into some valley. And he said, "You shall not send." But when they urged him until he was ashamed, they kept pressing. He said, "Send." And they sent therefore 50 men, and they searched 3 days, search party, but did not find him. We would say, you think? They returned to him while he was staying at Jericho, and he said, "Did I not say to you, do not go?" Yes, previously, like even Obadiah, remember, he thought that God, the Spirit of God, would just take Elijah and take him somewhere else. He was afraid that that would happen and he'd be killed by Ahab. So These prophets were concerned that Elijah was just taken. And remember, he was given that supernatural speed. He could run or be moved by the Spirit here and there. So we understand to a degree their questioning, but Elisha knew he's gone. He's in heaven. So he gave in, and after 3 days' search, they found nothing. Elijah's gone to heaven. And God credentialed the ministry of Elisha to begin here. Immediately in the chapter, you can read on, where he purifies the water. He says, "Thus says the Lord," and then those young lads are cursing him, and he calls down bears to kill them. He called on the name of the Lord, and the Lord did it for a future study. Well, so much for our lessons from the life and times of Elijah. Just in review of this section, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. It's true, and we need to be ready for it and acknowledge God's sovereignty. Whether young or old, we should be servants directed by our Lord. Elijah was an older man, but God sent him, God sent him, God sent him, and he went. We should be obeying in the same way. Loving devotion to the saints may be felt and spoken, but it is best when shown. Let's show it like Elisha. Even if someone doesn't want it, let's be persistent to help and love on them. Even in the darkest times, God can easily raise up a people for himself. The prophets at Bethel and Jericho. Then with this miracle and all miracles, stand firm believing in these miraculous acts of God. And like Elisha, let us imitate the godliness of other saints. And let us embrace the truth that two are better than one. These men were brothers and friends. They walked and talked together. But on this earth, even the best relationships must come to an end. We grieve, but we're not surprised. It's been happening for millennia, according to God's decree. We must also acknowledge that people grieve in different ways. Even Elisha grieved. And finally, be assured that the God of Elijah is our God. Let's pray to him now. Father, thank you for your word and for the patience of your people here gathered early Sunday morning. Father, may these lessons be profitable. May we be like Elijah, people on a mission to honor you, to obey you, to go when you say go, to do what you tell us to do. Lord, you are our God, and we rejoice in your power. May we all here have faith. Father, the world says these are fables, but we know, according to your word, that it is true that you parted the Jordan River by this mantle being thrown down. You, Lord, sent the chariot, sent the flaming horsemen, and then by this whirlwind took Elijah to heaven, a man like no other. We are amazed and we worship you and we glorify you. Father, give us grace to be like Elisha, to be devoted to the needs of the saints. And Lord, may you encourage us on our pilgrim path as we seek to follow you and even to be imitators of yourself. Thank you for the saints, old and present, those in heaven and those here. We delight in them because you are our God. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.